Blog Talk Radio.
Massacre of 14 people
on a planet.
Hey, Professor Abdusamatov from the Polkovol Observatory near St. Petersburg in Russia. He follows the sun, and he thinks the sun is the major driver of climate. And he's showing we're headed into what's called a grand solar minimum, when all the cycles of the sun hit bottom all at about the same time. And he says over the next few decades, yeah, sure, CO2 from humans is causing a little warming, in his opinion. At least that's what I understand. But wow, the sun is much more influential, so we'd better get ready for global cooling. Now, that's a really serious thing, because just a degree or two cooling on the Canadian prairies and we lose our wheat crop. If it gets a bit warmer, so what? We just use farming practices in Arkansas. But there's nobody farming north of us. And of course, we're the breadbasket of a lot of the world, including the United States. I mean, we export a lot of agricultural products to the U.S. So the sad thing is the Canadian government, of all governments, if you can believe it, they're only planning for warming, which would be beneficial to Canada. They don't plan for the most dangerous thing, and that is cooling.
Now, I'm wondering if the reason that they're planning only for warming is because that's the buzzword. That's what we've heard so often around the world. Now, what I'm wondering even further than that is what is happening in the world? What is the major driving force behind this climate change argument, behind this, like the Paris Accord? Like, I see people on both sides of this argument, and notably the people on the, oh my God, the world is going to come to an end. Whenever I ask them directly why, they can't. It's the world's going to get hotter. This is going to happen. I was like, I spent a great deal of time in Iraq. It was hot and it snowed at night in the desert. I'm cool with that. It gets colder in Colorado. I might have a bit of a problem, but what's really driving all of this?
It's the UN. The UN is the main driver. And in fact, I'm writing an article right now on why is the UN even involved in climate issues? Because it's interesting, when the UN was formed after World War II, it was, you know, its purpose was for peace and security and development type issues. So, but it was only in 1972 that they started to get into the environment issue. And then they got all excited about global warming because some computer models forecasted there would be a warming. And so they established something called the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. And what people don't realize is that the IPCC is completely biased. I mean, its purpose is to assess the role of man-made CO2 emissions in modifying the climate. Okay, they don't look at natural climate variability. So, I mean, think about it. If they were to conclude that human-induced climate change was negligible in comparison with natural causes, there'd be little reason for them to exist. And it's interesting because there's a cartoon that's being put out, and there's the IPCC guy out front, and he says to the IPCC scientists and all the, you know, many, many bureaucrats involved, and of course, this is a big thing. I mean, they go all over the world working out all sorts of interesting schemes. He says, hands up, who thinks greenhouse gases have no effect and therefore we all need new jobs? And of course, nobody puts their hands up. So, I mean, the whole point of the UN IPCC was specifically to figure out how much are humans contributing to climate change. And then they have another working group says, okay, and what should we do about it? Like, what are the impacts? And then what should we do about it? Well, if the first group says, it's practically nothing, then there's no reason for the second and third groups to even exist. Okay, and that's the point I make. Now, you know, it's interesting because in their first assessment report, the IPCC was actually pretty candid. And here's a quote from it. They said, it is not possible, no coal. So, yeah, that's where the big penalty is. It's not just an academic argument or transfer of wealth, which is
to discuss this topic further, because this is not the first, it must be right, and
disagreements arguments are stupid.
I would actually welcome an open debate format like that. It's something that I continue to try and organize, and one day I'm going to figure out how to turn it into a radio talk show so that people can actually listen to two sides debate about something. But Tom,
before you go on, one thing we need, if you do that, is a strong moderator, because typically these kinds of debates degrade into a yelling match and nothing gets done.
Mm-hmm. I think I could handle that one. I think I would enjoy it. I think it would be fun to moderate something like that. Well, Tom, we are about out of time, and I want to give you the opportunity to promote what matters to you. How can people get more information about you? I know you had promoted the other side of the climate change argument and all that other stuff. So here's your moment. URLs, links, Twitter feeds. How can people learn more about you and actually maybe learn something more about climate change?
Yeah, sure. They can go to the International Climate Science Coalition website, which is climatechangereconsidered.org. And I'd really recommend them that they go to the Non-Governmental International Panel on Climate Change as well. And it's an easy website. It's climatechangereconsidered.org.
Right on, Tom. Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you, as always. And I'm going to keep you on the list. When we do finally get a couple of people that want to have an open, moderated debate on this topic, I'm definitely going to be – you're going to be the first one on my list to call.
Okay. Thanks, Charles.
Right on, Tom. You have a good one.
Yeah. Bye.
So there you go. Tom Harris from the International Climate Science Coalition. You can check them out at climatechangereconsidered.org. Go over there, check them out, and see what you want to learn over there. Now, I want everybody to know, in terms of climate change, right, it's a thing. It's happening. And I don't know whether we can really do anything about it. I know the human race likes to believe that we can control everything amongst us, but last time I checked, the only person or thing that can do that is God. So you can't really stop what's coming. Now, we can reverse the crap that we are doing, right? We can reverse the unnecessary garbage that we're putting out there. We can, like just this past weekend, you know, I was down at the beach, down at Atlantic Beach, and damn it, people, clean up after yourselves, right? The planet is not ours to pollute, to destroy. I mean, like, we are the only people on the planet. We are the only species on this earth that just takes it for granted and just destroys it. We move into an area and we multiply until all natural resources are consumed, and then we move on to another area. You know, thank you, Agent Smith. But the idea that we can massively control it by just throwing more money at it instead of thinking, instead of putting together a real conversation and finding the real points in an area where the debate is still being had as to whether we can even have a real impact. And the Paris Accord, from what I understand, the 0.2%, 0.3% that it would have changed would have just cost us $2 trillion a year, right, if everybody did it. And you know the U.S. has to be big and bold, and we're just going to spend the most money out of all of those things. So we just need to focus it in a little bit. And the more we focus, the better it'll be. The more we work on it, the better we can get it all done, instead of having everyone and their brother involved in just – instead of having the wrong people do it, right? But the way that conversation ended is what I really want everyone to focus on, right? It's the political correctness. It's the inability to have a conversation. It's the unwillingness for most people to sit down and talk through – their differences. Now, mind you, I've invited plenty of people on the show to have the other side of an opinion with me, right? To have that conversation. And like I said, like I was telling Tom, I would love to moderate a debate between two people that way. I think I could handle it. I think I could be the strong moderator, be like, yo, you're drifting. Let's bring it back on topic. Let's keep this all together. And I think it would make for great radio. You know, I think it would make for great, not only education, but entertainment. But the problem is getting people to discuss it. And this is something that I've been working with Dr. Orrin Amity about, and we've been trying to put more people in positions where that's what we'll do. We'll accommodate you. We'll bring you onto the show. I'll bring you onto the show, and we'll accommodate you in an environment where you can talk, where you can have both sides of the argument, where you can have a discussion. And maybe the format will have to be a little longer, or maybe we'll even have to branch out onto a whole different channel. Who knows? But the idea of you sitting down and discussing your differences, regardless of the topic, right, regardless of whether it's race, regardless of whether it's sex, whether it's gender, which is, Lord, that's a touchy subject, whether it's your sexuality, whether the sky is blue, whose God is better, whether it's talking about Islam, we have to have these conversations, and we have to get out from under the noise, because what's happening right now is the free thinkers are stopping. Okay, they're quietly sitting back in their chairs, going on about their business, not engaging in the conversation any longer because they don't want to get yelled at. They don't want to get stoned to death. They don't want to get turned into – they don't want to become a victim. You know, they don't want to become – they don't want to bring the conversation forward just because they happen to fit into a stereotype that's opposing the mainstream. You know, and regardless of which side you are on this climate agreement, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear the conversation. I would love to open the dialogue to actually be able to discuss it. And if I guess the hashtag, right, and that's going to go out with this one, hashtag discuss it, you know, and like with Dr. Amity, he and I have gone through exercise after exercise after exercise, and I'm still trying to get him to just faster switch to the look. Seriously, let's have a conversation instead of just, you know, going back and forth on Twitter. But we constantly try and steer a conversation to let's do this. come on one of our shows, come on my show, preferably my show, a little bit of bias, you know, but come on one of the two shows and have a conversation, discuss it, sit down, have a moderator who's not going to participate in your discussion and allow the conversation to actually flow and be understanding. You know, the original purpose of WTF America, for those of you who got to hear it early on, and we've kind of went
earlier
off
today,
in
the
that
Intercept
direction, because that's exactly what
it was document
a
from
moderated
the NSA
debate
detailing
between two ordinary people about hot-button topics, right? That was the original one. You could bring your argument, you could
it's
bring
the first
your passion,
arrest
you could
we
bring
know
your
of.
Facts, you could bring all that other stuff, but you had to be respectful of the other person and their time. Right? You had to engage and be civil and maintain this discussion long enough for you both to put the points out there. And when you didn't have any more points and when you didn't have any more anything to contribute, then you don't necessarily tap out, but you retreat to your corners. And then me would probably have it narrated and probably put those two together and see where that conversation would grow out to. But we can't do that anymore. The days of college-level debates or just discussions in bar rooms. And, I mean, hell, I had a discussion right before Trump was president about economics and the lower class and the middle class and the service class and the serviced class and all this other stuff, sitting in an IHOP with a waitress who was very – she was elated that I asked her opinion, because she stood there and she was like, you know, most people just have this conversation and I just listen and I don't say anything and they just don't even realize that I'm there, that I am the topic of your conversation regardless of whether you know it or not. I am the person that fits the criteria of who's going to benefit or lose the most depending on what's about to happen next. At least that's how she felt. And involving her in the conversation, she was welcome to it. In fact, I bet you $10. I bet you $10 if you go out there today, if after you finish listening to me and you go out and you find someone who has an opposing view on your particular topic, like politics or whatever it is, right? You go out there and you have the discussion and you maintain civility and you say, hey, I just want to engage with you in this conversation. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to try and sway your perspective. I don't want to try and change your opinion. I just want to understand your position. Don't be rude, right? Don't be asinine. Don't go over there and be like, I want to understand how stupid you are. Don't do that. I want to go out and genuinely want to understand what the other person's position is. Like one of the rules in there's a book that my wife is reading, the How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? One of the rules in there, she doesn't believe that I could skim this book in the 30 seconds that I had it in my hand. But one of the rules is one of the guidances is engage that person and be genuinely interested in learning their perspective. Be genuinely interested in learning more about them. Be genuinely interested in getting more information from them about what they need to be doing, right? Be genuinely about them. And if you do that, just go and genuinely engage, not to change their minds, not to change their opinions, not to change their perspectives or anything like that. Just go and learn more about them. Well, the music means I'm running out of time here on the Charles Tendell Show. I love doing the WTFAs, and I'm hoping we're going to be able to do them longer, but, you know, they'll be better. We'll get some debates going on out here. Coming up in this week, we're going to be doing the Avant Secure PC Challenge. You definitely don't want to miss that. We're going to be giving away about $5,000 on this project, but you can find out more about it and follow it all over on the CharlesTendellShow.com. So do it, and I will see you tomorrow.
There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
Hello?
Fort Worth, Texas. You're live on the Charles Tendell Show. What can I do for you? Okay, sounds like we lost that one. Let's try it again. We're going to go to Chicago. Chicago, Illinois, you're live on the Charles Tendell Show. What can I do for you?
Hi, Charles. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay. I wanted to know if you had some sort of personal contact, because we have a cybersecurity firm here in Chicago, and sometimes we're hired to do some a lot of times we do penetration testing, and we're looking for some white hackers to be able to hire by project.
Sure. If you want, you can shoot me an email to charles@hackerslist.com.
Okay. I think I have this number here. All right, I will.
All right.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you.
Fresno, California, you're live on the Charles Tendell Show. What can I do for you?
Well, I just had a question about cell phone pinging. Is there an app out there that allows someone to ping someone else's cell phone?
Now, when you say ping, what do you mean?
GPS triangulation. Basically give the lat and long on a location of a cell phone.
Now, there are a couple of ways to do that. If you're looking enabling the GPS chip in it, your best bet is going to be to create probably a web script that's going to do it, and then getting the phone to somehow either go to that website or otherwise connect to it using a browser, and then you can get all of that certain information. When dealing with, say, an application or anything beyond that, you're going to run into some issues based on devices. Some devices don't respond. Some devices won't allow it to happen naturally. But almost all of them have that. All the smartphones that have a browser in them will let you do it that way.
Okay. Not very tech savvy. I'm looking for somebody that could actually do that.
Okay. Is this a large project? Is this a one-off project, or is this you want to be able to do this several different times?
Several different times.
It's not, okay.
Not just a one-time type thing. It's a we're licensed PIs, and we handle mostly people that jump bail and runaways. So it's a way to basically track down bail jumpers, that sort of thing.
Okay. I can build a custom script for you. So there is a custom way to have that done. We'll need to have more of a conversation before I can give you a definitive on that. But if you want to try something very similar, do a Google search for a tool called Grabify, Grabify. You can create an account with it, and what you basically do is you create URLs. You create links that you send to the target device. Once that link is clicked, it gives you IP address for the geographic location. It'll give you some GPS location. It'll give you browser information. It'll give you ISP information, the type of device, and so on.
Really? Okay. Grabify, Grabify?
Correct.
Okay. And how can we be in touch with you to maybe go a little bit further with this, or can you recommend somebody that you think that would know how to do this?
Well, sure. If you shoot me an email, you can email to charles@hackerslist.com or go to hackerslist.com and you fill out a form, and it'll take you over to my intake form, and you can put your information in there. If you haven't already, I think I've seen something similar, a request similar.
Yes, I already have. Yes, sir, I have.
Okay, and, so we may be communicating via email.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, and I do appreciate your help.
Not a problem. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we're going to go next. St. Petersburg, Florida, it looks like. St. Petersburg, welcome to the Charles Tendell Show. What can I do for you? Not.
cybersecurity expert Charles
conversation and come to find out he wasn't on hackerslist.com. He was on one of the little spinoffs that are out there that dominate the first few sections of Google search results that bring him down the list. So he had spent hundreds, if not thousands of dollars going down the list and just spending money with people who are all making these crazy claims as to what they could and couldn't do. And he ended up losing money. And after we talked for a minute, he realized, oh crap, I was on the wrong website. I wish I had found you first. I wish I had had the opportunity to talk to you. I wish we could have engaged, and I wish I could have known better. And I tell everyone, quite honestly, if you are interested, if you're curious, if you want to hire a professional hacker or you're looking for that sort of service, I will give you advice for free. All right? Just if you go over to hackerslist.com, you can fill out the little box, your name and your email address, and you'll get an email back that has a list of what I can and cannot do and what you should expect from me and how it should all work and all that other stuff. And it'll put you more at ease, you know. And if you feel like it, Monday through Thursday, you can dial it up on this show, right? And you can call in to the number again, 1-844-9-HACKER, and we can have a conversation on the air about what it is that you're looking for. And we can talk about, you know, what is possible and what isn't possible. So I want everybody to know, that seriously, I'm here to help you. I'm here to change the narrative, just like I say online. I'm here to change the narrative that hackers aren't the bad guys, right? Hacker is a measure of skill, not intent. The guys that you're getting scammed by, they're not hackers. They're not even close to professional hackers. They don't even resemble a hacker. They have no idea probably of what it means to be a hacker. They are just straight scammers. They have built a system that is just meant to scam you. And even if you found someone and you think they're professional and you've got them and they're working and you're still apprehensive about that and you don't really have a full-on trust level, I will play a broker for you. I'll hold on to your money. I'll make sure that they know that I'm going to pay them at the end of their project once satisfied. And if they don't do as they say, I'll give you your money back. You know, that's the way it should work. That's the way it should be engaged. And that's how I like to work with my clients. So if you got questions, again, I'll give you free advice. I will give you that portion of myself for free. So the lines are open, 1-844-9-HACKER, and we've got a couple of callers going on in here, so let's see what we got. Let's go here to Florida. It looks like Peter in Florida, you're live on the Charles Tendell Show. What do you got?
I wanted to hack into my fiance's three different profiles. I know she's cheating on me, but she's got me blocked from all of them.
Okay, and your fiance has got you blocked on Facebook.
Correct.
Okay. How long have you been with this woman?
12 years.
12 years. I mean, it sounds like a long time to develop some trust. Why did she block you? Is it just to prevent you from seeing anything that she's doing?
Exactly. But before she blocked me on one of the profiles, I found out she has three. But before she blocked me on the one that I was looking at, I accidentally touched something, and then she knew that I was looking. So then she blocked me on that one. Well, I could still see some stuff, but she removed a lot of stuff.
Okay. Now, where is your
– And then there's two other ones that – yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh,
I was
going
to say – and then she has three different names. I'm not going to say them here, but three different profiles, and for all I know is she's got three different guys. I don't know.
Okay. So where's your fiance living? Is she in the United States?
Yes.
Okay, and are you guys living in the same house together? Are you? How often do you see her?
No, what happened was that we had a house in Pennsylvania. And my mother had passed away, and I came down to Florida to take care of her. So I didn't see her for almost 2 years, but we were on the honor system. But evidently, she does have a history of cheating in the past, and I was warned by certain, you know, friends of mine that said, look, once a cheater, always a cheater. That what makes you think she's not going to do the same thing to you if you're not around?
Mm-hmm.
But she had an affair with her boss for 5 years that the husband never knew about.
Hmm.
So I squandered a lot of money on her, and that's pretty much the whole story, I guess.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to jump straight off with you're in the United States, she's in the United States. Hacking into her Facebook account is a quick, surefire way to end up under some sort of litigation, whether she sues you in a criminal or a civil court, or she files charges against you or something like that. It's a real fast way to kind of go to jail. So I would advise against trying to get her password and going through her account that way. But there are a couple of options that you can do. There are a couple of things that you can actually work on. Now, the path you've already taken where you're able to see her profile externally and not get blocked and do all that other stuff, it's a much more detailed, much more in-depth, and a much stronger version of that, essentially. Basically, what you're looking at is a technique called doxing, and that goes to her Facebook profile, anywhere that she communicates online, depending on how she operates. I mean, if she's actively evading you or actively evading any sort of electronic surveillance, it's going to cause a problem. But normal users go online, and I'm telling you, I can create a virtual artificial intelligence version of them that you would swear was them just based on the information that they've got out there. And I'm talking everything from their location, who they're talking to, when they're talking to them, where they're going, and things of that nature.
But how about the two that I can't see?
See, that's she's specifically just evading you. She's just trying to keep you out.
Yeah, well, we had shared a Facebook profile together at one time,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't want me to see who. But I found out that, I'm not going to say the guy's name, that she was seeing some other guy, because in her profile that I can see, it says, in a relationship with da-da-da-da-da.
The other guy.
The other guy. So she's got three AKAs. I don't know how many guys she's running, for all I know.
Okay. Well, there are ways that Facebook can be manipulated, for lack of a better term, to be able to give you the exact information that you're looking for, to be able to find you who she's talking to, if she's engaging with all of this, and how far it's actually going, and if she's taken it offline, if she's met with these people or anything like that. You can also find out that information. But just, I mean, based on what you know already, it's. Are you sure you really want to go that route? I mean, it could get expensive.
Well, it depends upon how much we're talking, you know.
Well, at a minimum,
you want to tell me offline?
Well, I can tell you that you are looking at more than something cheap. I definitely need to get more information about what you got going on, what you've done so far, and all that other stuff. So I'll put you back in the queue, and I'll have my producer get the rest of your information, and we'll continue the conversation offline about it. But just know that this
okay.
is an experience.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Before you go, I have somebody coming over here at 1:30. I had some paperwork to fill out because I had a very bad accident and I broke. I hope she's not listening to this. She probably isn't. I broke both my arms and both my shoulders and one hand. So I'm really not in good shape.
Ouch.
I'm diabetic. I'm diabetic on an insulin pump and I have to have surgery on my eye. I'm not in good shape. So we were on the honor system and I kept believing her all her lies.
Okay. Now, I mean, was there money involved? I mean, it sounds like this is part of her MO. She finds a good guy. She finds somebody that's out there that's willing to do this. You guys hook up. You spend some good times together, and she moves on. You said that she was cheating on her previous husband, and she's having an affair with multiple people.
Yeah.
And even she's not even trying to really hide it from you, man. She's really openly saying, hey, this is what I've done. So, I mean, you could potentially.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, yeah, you're right. Because when I accused her, I said to her, I'm not going to say her name, I said, you've been cheating on me for years. And then she hung up on me.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't. And now the only way she tries to, as she communicates with me, is by email. She won't even return a text.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk offline about what something like this, a project like this, is going to cost you. But quite honestly, man, it sounds to me like you've got the information you need already, and it might just be time to just cut her off.
No, not from the other one.
Hmm.
But not from the other profile.
Well,
you know what it is, sir, and I want this closure before I die.
Okay. I understand. I understand. I got that one. I can feel that one. So yeah, let me put you back in the lounge, and my producer will get your information, and we'll continue this conversation offline, man. And we'll see if we can come up with something that'll work best for you.
Okay, I have somebody coming at 1:30. Could I give you my number and have somebody call me back, or how does this work?
Give your information to my producer, and once I'm off the air, I'll give you a call.
Okay, when do you go off the air?
In about 2 hours.
Okay, great. Because then that guy he'll be coming on.
Right. Good. On.
Okay.
All right, Peter. Well, thank you for the call, man.
Thank you.
So, a good one. Interesting conversation there with Peter. This is one of those things where if you've been scammed online, or you're dealing with someone on the internet, or you're dealing with people who may or may not be the most up and up with what it is that they're doing for you, right? If these people are out there, a lot of times they're the telltale signs that they're just playing you, you know. And you can watch, you can learn, you can follow them on social media, you can cyber stalk the crap out of them, actually. You know, you can want to go after their Facebooks, you can want to get out of their social media, but sometimes the information is kind of blatant and kind of right there in your face. So there's really no need to go that far when it comes to this stuff. So what I tell most people, especially when it comes to dealing with people online, and when you're dealing with people who otherwise aren't really there for you, I tell them straight up, there's more to this puzzle than you need. So the lines are open. 1-844-9-HACKER. I'll get you on and get you involved in the conversation. If you got a question, give me a call and let's have a talk. Let's go to the phones really quick. Oh, shoot. Not doing that one, I guess. So that was an interesting one. We always get people on here who are looking for different things in different walks of life when it comes to cybersecurity or it comes to an ethical hacker. And I hear that kind of story often, and it goes from both kind of levels. You know, it goes from both angles. I hear about women checking on men and men checking on women, and I always hear these kind of brazen examples of they really don't care. And I'm not trying to discourage anyone from trying the things that they want to try. If you really want to try these things, if you really want to go through the process, if you really must know, I'll be glad to help you. But I'm going to tell you right off the bat that there are some things you shouldn't try. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but in the case of Peter there, it seems like she's made her choice, and no amount of information is going to make it right. And, you know, he wants to know. He has to absolutely know. And there are definitely ways to do it. There are definitely ways for you to find out for 100% certain. But you got to be willing to take that information. You got to be willing to get it and move on and know what's going on and have the acceptance. You know, be open to accepting the future of things that are to come. So, I mean, good call overall. And again, like I said, be wary. There are going to be people out there that will take your money and tell you everything you want to hear to get you to the point of just paying them. Even if you ask them, hey, hack my ex-girlfriend or hack my fiance or anything like that, they'll say, sure, and I can definitely do it before the end of the episode. There you go. And what ends up happening 9 times out of 10 is you're going to get scammed and life's just going to be horrible and it's just going to be bad for you. So if you need a second opinion, call me up. 1-844-9-HACKER, and I'll be happy to give you a second opinion. So we've got the lines open, like I said, 1-844-9-HACKER, and we'll get you on and get you through, and you can ask the question. The line's still open. We've got, let's see, who we got going on now in the queue. Let's see, we've got a call from North Carolina. North Carolina, you're live on the Charles Tundell Show. What can I do for you? Hello? Not okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Do you help me?
I can hear you.
Do you help me?
Do I help you? I can help you. What do you need? That didn't work well. Let's see here. We've got, looks like Karen from California. Karen from California. Welcome to the Charles Tendale Show. How can I help you?
Hi, yes. Hi, I'd like to know how I can hack on the account of my husband. Because I used to have access on his Facebook and Gmail account, but when he moved to Texas, suddenly he changed all the passwords.
Okay, so your current husband moved. How long ago did he move?
Oh, he moved last March.
Last March. So we're in. So he's been
yeah.
gone a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything else that's triggering? I mean, you want to find out what he's doing on Facebook, I am assuming.
Yes, I want to find out who he's talking to, if he's cheating on me, so that I would know if our marriage should go on or not.
Okay. And how often does he get back home? How often is he there with you?
Okay.
How often over the last year or so has he been back home and there with you? I ask because...
Oh, I was there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I went to Texas last April, but then I still don't have access on his account.
Okay.
So that's kind of something new, because I used to have access on both accounts, but then he changed his passwords after that.
Okay, and what's he telling you is the reason why he won't just give you the access back?
Oh, we just keep saying it's the same password, but I won't believe it. Then we're going to go in a fight, and then I'll let it pass. But then I want to find out what's the real truth about it.
Okay. What kind of online user is he? Is he pretty tech savvy?
Yes, he is a pretty tech savvy. He's an engineer in Texas, so he's always online on his phone, but most of the time, he's using his phone accessing those accounts.
Okay. Okay. One, I'm going to tell you, because you're both in the United States, hacking into his Facebook account, that's not possible for you. Legally, if you get caught or if whoever you hire to do it gets caught, they're going to jail. Maybe not to jail, but they're definitely going to be in a lot of trouble. They're going to get fined, and it's just life's not going to be the greatest for them. But what I can tell you is he's an engineer. It sounds like he's tech savvy. It sounds like he's likely got a whole lot of stuff going on online that he uses. So you can still find out that information. You still can find out who he's talking to, where he's going, what he's doing, and so on and so forth. And kind of like I told the previous caller, this isn't a cheap path that you're headed down. And I want to make sure that you know that to determine whether or not it's really going to be worth it to do this. Because, I mean, you can find out on your own through a couple of different things, and I can even send you a link to some tools and some techniques that you can use yourself to find out 100% for certain as to whether or not he's cheating on you or who he's talking to, and you can kind of track him down online yourself without needing me, right, and without having the cost of hiring someone. Have you tried hiring anybody else before now?
Yes, I've been trying to, but it's getting scared because they were all scammers. Yeah. Like they're trying to make me pay, even if I don't see any proof that they were able to get into those accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been asking a lot of money for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of them out there. There are, trust me, there. Every single day I talk to somebody new who says, yeah, I met with Epic hacker wannabe over here who says they can do all of these things. I paid them up front and then poof, they were gone and I never saw my money again. And there are so many of those people between me and you that a lot of people get scared of it. And not all hackers are bad. And trust me, the guys who are stealing your money, they're not really hackers. They never were. They don't even have the parts of the qualifications to even consider themselves a hacker. They're just scam artists out there. So I'm sorry that you had to go through all of that. In terms of your husband and his Facebook page, I can help you find out without a shadow of a doubt whether or not he's cheating on you. But like I was telling a previous caller, it's an expensive road to walk, and you have to be mentally prepared for that. You also need to know that there's going to be some, if you find out that information, if you find out what it is that you're looking for, be prepared to take the next steps. I would hate for you to start a process like this or go through all of this and not be able to utilize it, not be able to do anything with it. And I think you can find out for certain. And I think knowing that going in will help you a lot.
Okay. How much is it?
Well, I'd have to get some more specifics from you. So if you want to talk about pricing and all of those other things, I'll put you back in the lobby and you can talk to my producer and we can find a time to get connected and find out a little bit more information about it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Right on, Karen. Well, thank you for your call today.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. So there you go. Well, see, here's the problem. There are a ton of people out there who are just set up to scam you. They really are. And it sucks because I'm still kind of fleshing out the methodology for Hackers List. And when I get to SEOing, trust me, we'll be back at the top of the search results. But there are at least five people between the top of Google search results and Hackers List that I hear about all the time. All the time. People come to me every single day saying, hey, I got scammed. Hey, they want to do this. And like I tell people, if you want the information, if you want to know what's going on, if you want to find out if you're dealing with a real legitimate hacker or not, I will give you that information for free on hackerslist.com. You can go over there, sign up on the forum. You can get in, you'll get my email and take my intake form and do all that other high-speed stuff, and I will give you that advice for free. So the lines are still open, 1-844-9-HACKER. I'll get you on and get you involved in the conversation. Let's go to the phones again, and it looks like we've got, is this New York? New York, you're live on the Charles Tendale Show. What can I do for you?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Thank you so much. I was calling because first of all, I did go online to try to inquire, but it said that right now the projects were full. So therefore, I couldn't inquire on a different day. But I still can, for some reason, cannot get in to put any information in the intake form. But beside that, I'm calling regarding credit reports. And it seems like I've been scammed with a few people already. It seems that, I spent a few $1,000 already claiming they can help. I'm trying to get a mortgage, and I have to fix a few things up on my credit. And I went to three people already, and everyone seems to be the next person keeps saying that they can do what they can do, and in the end, seems like they really can't do what they're doing. What they can do, and they ask for more money, or they say that if you go through the verification process, which say it costs this amount, the next amount, and send this now, you can do it through iTunes cards, you can do it through MoneyGram, etc. And I'm still at the same place where I am 3 weeks ago, with just $2,500 or so, dollars spent and lost, and nothing ever happened. So that's pretty much, I was going to see, how you guys can help me, or if there's something that's actually legit out there that can do something like that, or there's not.
Right. Well, first and foremost, if you're open to telling me, I'd like to know who you worked with before now, because different people do different things, and depending on what it is that they tried and who they are, I can tell you, one, if they're a scam, or two, if there is anything that they said was even remotely possible for your credit report. So who was it that you worked with before now?
I don't have names, I have emails, because I was going back and forth through email.
Okay.
Is that something that you're asking about?
Yeah, so it's
the emails.
It's not like a specific company that you were dealing with, or a particular website that you found these people. It was just
I went online. No, how I found you, I was going through different things and different blogs, and people were like, oh, call this person, if you want this or this, he's a great person, or call this. I'm like, okay, so I saw a few people reviews, and I'm like, maybe they seem to like them, and I don't really know them, but maybe it's fine. And I actually tried. That's how I found some people, but I guess I didn't really find anyone. I don't know, because nothing happened, except for me losing money.
Yeah, a lot of those posts and a lot of those blogs are filled with, they're just perfect places for scammers. They don't have anything really invested. They've got a website, or they've got an email, or they've gone out and put up some false links for themselves, and people go out and end up sending their money and getting scammed. So what kind of things are on your credit report?
So I have I think my credit report has actually been pretty good for the past 10 years, and I was working with someone else, a legit person, to go to court and, you know, see, you know, try to get some trade lines off. But right now, the things that I've left are 6 charge-offs from the past year and year and a half or so. Yeah, that's it, 6 charge-offs. And then I also have 2 student loans, but those are all in good standing. I'm not sure if I can do anything with those. That's pretty much it. That's what's holding my score down.
Okay.
My other ones are all good. I have good credit lines. I have long history. I've been paying on time for over 10 years, about 10 years now straight on other cards. I was told to stop paying 6 of them. We'll get them to charge off, and then we'll get them off with the legit person I was actually working with. But in the end, we're still back and forth. She told me 6 months, 8 months. It's now been a year and a half, and I'm still in court, and it seems like she was not able to help me out with everything I was able to. I'm still trying, but I'm trying to go a different route now, and that's why I've been in touch with these people in the past 3.5 weeks to a month.
Okay, so the charge-offs, how old are they?
So they're now – so I stopped, like you say, a year and a half ago, so I guess charge-offs were 6 months after that. So it's maybe a year, I guess, something around there.
Okay. Them being about a year old, there's a technique that you can use with the credit bureaus. Now, you're trying to do this all to get a mortgage, like you said, so your timing is going to be kind of necessary. If you can take your credit report and you can line item each one of the things that are on there that are still giving you negatives, what you can do is, and I don't know whether a legitimate person did this for you or not, it doesn't sound like that, you can send a letter to TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian challenging those lines. And the creditor is required to respond within a certain amount of time. If they don't, it has to come off your credit report. And while it might be a temporary bounce for your credit score to go up through the roof, it'll be enough time for you to be able to go and get the mortgage that you're looking for. Now, this may you're going to need to do a little bit of research to figure out whether this is something that functions appropriately in your given area, but it's definitely an option for you to get those things off. But it's really going to determine what they look like, who they're from, and what the amounts are. There are other couple of things that you can do that you can – you can look at, but without looking at your credit report, it's going to be hard for me to recommend anything else.
Right. So these hackers that I was dealing with the past 3.5 weeks or so, what they're claiming something that can be possibly be done, maybe just not through them, or
well,
something that really can't be done.
If they're telling you they can hack into the credit bureaus, remove things, inject things, or things of that nature, that's a lie. That is a flat-out lie for the number one reason of these bureaus. This is not their first rodeo. They spend a lot of money protecting their information. They spend a lot of time making sure that no one is going to be able to hack them. So unless these guys have got a pre-connected, already in the works, already there, been there for 10 years, or they work there or something like that, what they're telling you is complete jive. There is no way they can do what they say they do.
So hackers can't do that.
No.
Unless they have an in with the company.
Correct. Or they understand how the system itself works. From my perspective, I personally don't do it. I have a colleague of mine who she's very, very good with dealing with the credit bureaus, and she's very quick to get things off. And I've seen her get somebody with a credit score that wouldn't allow them to get like a payday loan. And then like 6 months later, this person was buying a new house. So it's really a matter of options. It's really a matter of your objective and the time and energy you want to put into it.
Right. So the mortgage, you know, the next few months, that's I'm looking to do. I'm doing it now. So if someone can do that, then I am willing. I mean, again, I have these. You asked me about these emails from these people who I guess they were not legit because they couldn't do it because they kept asking me for more and more money. They're saying something verification process, and I have to get a program to attack it, and I was paying for all that, which they were doing, but I don't, you know, send me pictures of it, but nothing in the end, nothing ever happened. So that they're claiming they can. Some of them said they have an in, you know, the director of the place is, I don't know, but nothing has worked, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry you get scammed that way. I mean, I'd love to get more from you. I'd love to get more information to figure out what it is that you actually have been through, and then to be able to kind of get a look at your credit report to let you know what we can and cannot do for you. But it does sound like you've run into a bunch of scammers, and I'm that sucks, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. So are my kids. I'm just trying to. Okay, so I guess I would like to proceed and see if it's something that we can do, and you taking a look at it.
Sure. You had mentioned you tried to fill out the intake form. I'd recommend you try and fill it out again. My caseload does fill up kind of quickly, and we just opened up a few more slots yesterday and this morning. So I think you should be able to get in there now. Shoot me an email directly to charles@hackerslist.com. And then from there, I'll take a look at it. I'll send it to a couple of people with your permission, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, so let me just get the – let me just write that down. Charles, C-H-A-R-L-E-S. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Charles, what was the next part of it? I'm sorry.
At hackerslist.com.
Hackers List with an S at the end? List?
Mm-hmm. No, List, L-I-S-T, singular.
Okay, listsingular.com. Okay, if I can't get in, I will send you the email, and I appreciate your time for today.
Yep, I do recommend you fill out the intake form because that works faster than sending me an email because I get a million of those a day, and sometimes things get lost.
No, I'm going to try again. I tried for a week straight, and I couldn't get in. So I keep checking back.
Okay.
So I'll do it right now. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, have a nice day. Thank you.
Karen from, where was she? From California is having some issues with her significant other. And again, it's really kind of interesting how those types of situations come up so often. You know, and I mean, if you're one of those people who has suspicions, right? Suspicions about your significant other or suspicions about what somebody's doing online and all that other that stuff. Again, be ready for the evidence that you're going to get. I mean, most of the time your suspicions are kind of right, especially in these two cases where they're blocking you or they're changing passwords and they're keeping you out and they're keeping you, you know, without being on the up and up with it all. And it gets to be problematic. It gets to be pretty, pretty deep there. And I wonder, you know, a lot of those times if it would be just best to stop and to take the hint from the significant other, from the other person involved. But I understand that heartstrings are involved, so it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to let it just roll off like that and go off into oblivion. And I know if I were in any of your positions, I would want to know myself. So, but, you know, again, there are different ways to do it. And it sucks so bad because people come to me all the time and they've got this feeling. They've got this energy. They've got this problem, you know, this need, and they're being taken advantage of. And again, they make people like me look bad, and it sucks because we're professionals. And everybody that I know that's in this industry, like somebody that I'm probably going to have come on that I'll have get involved in the conversation for this is Julie Spira. She's the cyber dating expert. In fact, you can go over to her website, cyberdatingexpert.com, I think it is, or even go on Facebook or just Google cyber dating expert, and she pops up. And she and I talk about catfishing, and she and I talk about security online and dating online all the time when it comes to stuff like this. And, you know, she's an optimist. She's like, you know, hey, dating online is fantastic. Most people's relationships start online. Most people that do this are now going to get married. It's just as normal now to meet somebody online as it is to meet somebody in a bar or meet somebody out on about or do any of those things. And I try not to discourage anyone. I try not to tell people to not do these things, but I definitely try to get people to understand that in the age of the internet, there's some scary stuff out there, and you should probably do your due diligence. But with the fact that it's all out online, there are so many ways that you can do that due diligence, and so many ways that you can find out, and so many ways that if you suspect that person is cheating or you suspect that person is
cybersecurity exploration. I know who those people are or who aren't involved in this overall
scam, because those people are actually helping cooperate with authorities to prove their innocence, really, is what it's come down to.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to need to get some more information on their email and their web addresses and all those other wonderful things to be able to help you further. What I would recommend, if you've got all the information that you have, shoot it to me in an email. I'll put you back in the lounge, and you can actually talk with my producer, and she'll get all of your information.